My brain hurts. I don't know how your brain's doing. My brain hurts. So let me warn you that after 15 minutes, if you look at your neighbor and say, "What did he just say?" Don't be shocked. Because I'm thinking about Emmys and Sean Spicer. I'm thinking about Bill Clinton. I'm thinking about the musical Hamilton and earthquakes and hurricanes and flooding in Southwest Asia. I'm really worried about Puerto Rico. Portland Public Schools is on my mind a lot lately. The way that we treat each other, and I'm pretty exhausted. My mind hurts. And for the fourth Sunday in the row, if you've been to worship here at Westminster, you've heard this scripture passage. And my beloved wife, my one who I love and adore, left me the stuff about vengeance and wrath. I'm so excited. Funny how she chose that as the 4 week and I got the end, huh? I think it's an act of compassion and kindness that you just showed up today. So let me just say thank you, first of all. That you would actually give up an hour of your time, and knowing that it takes time to get here and it'll take time to leave, to be in a community where we're struggling to be able to understand what it means to live, may I just say, in a beautiful, graceful way in a very difficult and ugly time in the world. I mean, I have to tell you, I got really tired pretty quickly about the whole Sean Spicer and Emmy thing. If you don't know anything about it, Sean Spicer was Donald Trump's press secretary. He showed up at the Emmys and people started getting really angry about normalizing Sean Spicer because he was such a bad person. And I'm thinking, really? Do you remember this guy named Bill Clinton that took advantage of his White House intern? He seems to be doing quite well, thank you very much. What does normalizing human beings mean? I mean, aren't we struggling the sinfulness? When I was learning what it meant to be a Christian in the church that I grew up in, it was really hard when we got to this thing about sin. I don't know if any of you went through this, but I did. But the Reformers and Presbyterian Church, we think about being in the Reformed tradition. They moved away from this idea that there were levels of sin. The Catholic Church talked about mortal sin, venial sins, and I'm not sure about what other kinds of sins. And the pastor I grew up with then said, a sin is a sin is a sin, and they're all equal. Well, that didn't feel right. What do you mean? If I hurt somebody with my fist, it's the same thing as using God's name in vain. They're not equal. Let's level them. One is this, two is this. You get points. And at the end, they add them all up. I don't know where you're at. I just don't know where you're at. But I want to challenge you today. I really want to challenge you to think that there really is a lot of space for each other, and that we have to make space for God first before we can make space for each other. So I'm going to remind you about what Paul wrote at the end. He says in 16th verse, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are." That's tough on me, but I work at that. "Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible," Paul never really gives us space, and even he in this section gives us some space. "If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Paul's writing to this church in Rome, and it's not a pleasant place for the Christians, right? They're getting sort of persecuted, and it gets worse, by the way, as it goes on. And Paul is writing to this early church about this guy named Jesus, and we get to this section about how to live with one another and being in relationship with one another. And it gets to the point where Paul says, do something radical live peaceably with one another. Right in the midst of all these folks who disagree with your faith, disagree with who you are, disagree with the way you live, live peaceably as much as possible with one another. And we got talking about this whole idea in our staff meeting, and the idea of vengeance, wrath of God. Vengeance really is about you. If you want vengeance, it's to make your life what you think will be better. Have you seen the signs, punch a Nazi? Right? That is such an interesting model to live by right now. It's so not the way I was taught. And I hope it's not the way Westminster is teaching. But friends, some of the kids that were in my youth group in the 90s are posting things, and punch a Nazi is pretty comfortable for them. You know, I get it. Doesn't it feel kind of good that maybe somebody would punch out somebody who you disagree with? Heck, if you don't like what somebody says, hit them, or beat them, or run over them in a car, or just treat them horribly. Paul, in the middle of this crazy time, trying to start a new way of thinking and being, says to these folks, hey, do not repay evil for evil. If someone's hungry, give them food. Wait. Always before that, in every faith tradition, you really were given permission to sort of go after somebody who treated you badly. And Paul this is radical. It's sort of like how we every Sunday morning stand up and pass the peace of Jesus Christ. And it's like, oh, peace of Jesus Christ, this will be easy, let's move on. Paul is saying to the church, this early church, hey, you know this guy named Jesus? The one that we're all thinking and talking and following about? You know, he had all this political power and energy, and he was really rabble-rousing, but that's not what he was doing. He was being present for God's people. And at the end, when he had a choice, and he could have gone after the politicians, when he could have gone after Rome, he walked to his death. Now, this is not a sermon about Jesus' death. It's about his life. And it's about what he represented to the early church. Friends, if you're going to spend an hour every Sunday morning at Westminster, you just know you're radical. You are like crazy radical. You're like scary people radical. You know why? Because what you're saying is, if I disagree with somebody, I might just offer them some food. Do you know if I hate somebody, I might say, hey, can I take you to the doctor's? Or if you disagree with somebody politically, you may say, can I make sure your feet don't hurt you after you've marched? I might even be willing to rub your feet. You people are nuts. What are you doing here? And this is different than when the Christian church talks about itself, about being for justice. I think about Ann Huntwork, who was doing adult ed last Sunday. You know, Ann went to federal prison because she was disrupting the government for justice. Ann went to march in a place in Georgia because she felt like what was happening down there was wrong, was morally wrong, and she disrupted it. She was bringing justice to the world. So friends, if you hear me preaching that disruptive peacemaking is not what we're called to do, then I have missed the boat. Being kind and generous is not any different than working for justice. It's all part of the package. And that's what making being a follower of Jesus pretty tough. Because you're disrupting the government. You're going after what is wrong. You're not punching Nazis, you're loving them and telling them they're wrong, and here's why. Are you just worn out? I'm worn out. I am just worn out. God, if another earthquake hits this world, I'm coming after you, God. I'm done. And don't get me started on Puerto Rico. I'm so worried about Puerto Rico. And here we are sitting in Portland, Oregon, having a pretty decent weather week, yay! Enjoying each other's company. and being in relationship with one another. And this guy named Greg Neal is preaching what Paul is trying to say, and I'm not sure he's right, that we really are supposed to love our enemies, that we really are supposed to work so that others may have a better life, even if we disagree with them. I'm not sure we shouldn't be hurting other people. That is what we struggle with in humanity all the time. Friends, leave room for God. God is in charge. It's God's vengeance. It's misunderstood if you think that at the end of the day that somebody's going to be struck down because God's going to put his wrath or her wrath on them. The idea that Paul is giving is, it's up to God. God's in charge. And God loves so much, who knows what God will do? That is why showing up for worship on Sunday mornings is really kind of nutty. Because you're saying you're not in charge. You're really giving over to something bigger than yourself. I always say I want love to win. I want love to be the winner in this. Friends, take a breath. Know that you're loved. Know that God is very much in charge. And that when we're feeding the hungry, loving our enemies, not persecuting those who persecute us, going out after folks who need our help, whether we agree with them or not, that is the Christian life that we've been struggling with for 2,000 years. I wish I had a joke to end the day with. I wish I could tell you that life's going to get better. What I am going to tell you is life in community where you practice your faith will give you strength and will allow you to live a way that will honor yourself as well as honor a God who you claim to be in relationship with. Take a walk, read some poetry, call a friend you haven't talked to, write a letter to a politician advocating, pray like crazy, smile, be upset, know that you are loved, and make room for God. To God be the glory. Amen.